Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in this place, for we are gathered together in one accord in the house of God to bring you glory. For you and you alone must receive all the glory. Man can never boast in himself, but God is the possessor of heaven and earth. To him be all the glory and the honor and the praise and the love and the worship, the might and the dominion, both now and forevermore. Let's give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Amen. Come on. Come on. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Yes. Well, you may all take your seats. Thank you very much. I'm booking the band. Every high thing must come down. And I'm also booking Io at the end of all this, because Io's going to have to do a job for me. He's going to have to blow the trumpet so the strongholds come down. Is that okay with you? Yes. He's the man that'll be the trumpeter tonight, though he's busy playing a saxophone. But he's one of the best. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Right, okay. So right now, just very quickly, I need those, there were some chairs, and I need some of the men, George, Ihu, the strong men. Just move this pulpit a little bit back here for me in the middle. Just come quickly, you guys. Just move it back because I want them to sit here, particularly here in front of the French population, because of the fact that they want to take cell phone pictures of what I'm about to do. And then after that, just shift it backwards. And then from there, we'll take it from there. And then I'll get back afterwards. But I'm going to have a brief talk about these men. Just put it down there. That's fine. And I'll take this chair. And I think we need, it's only three chairs. Those chairs kind of face towards them. Okay? And they can sort of look this way. They can see the audience. Okay. Right. Thank you, gentlemen of the jury. These young people, when they catch fire, they do a good job, I tell you. And so, having said that, just very quickly now, I want to talk about these two men that are here tonight. The French team that's here, they walked straight into my house, into my study. They presented me with a French rugby jersey. So don't mess with me now, because I got the French on my side. Amen. And I'm still waiting on an American rugby jersey. Ay, 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 ay. Clive Gopal used to say, ay, 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 ay. Maybe at least I'll have a flag or something like that. I went to Texas. They got me the Texas flag from the government down there, governor down there. They had some whole thing with the Texas flag, and I brought that home. Could be still in my office. But I got the Israel flag up here as well. So that's very good. Can you say amen? Amen? Well, first off, let me talk about Alex for a moment. Alexis is what they call him, family. I just call him Alex. And him and Naomi have been in the United States at the point of getting citizenship now. They've been there for years. And he just couldn't get away from the call of God. And they started off quite supernaturally. There were a couple of prophecies, I think among that I got in the picture too. And cutting a long story short, Alex launched, broke away, communicated with me. Used to sit over there, always used to be full of tears because he wept so much that he could just get into the kingdom of God. Young boy, because he grew up in the church here, and he was weeping for that. And he comes to see me, he says he's looking for full-time ministers, said go find a job. And he had to go work first. Just, you know, men, I'm sure Naomi and all the women will agree with me. I always say a man's only a man at 30. Then they mature. A man takes a little bit longer. Then they stop playing with toys, hopefully. And they stop racing all over town and doing all those funny things. And so Alex went across, because it was never his destiny, it was on that side. Bible school, everything here. And so with that, he went across. They started a church. And maybe there are one or two images. I don't know if these things are going to be. Oh, yeah, there's an image. I don't know if it's on the side screens. You should be able to see it. And you should put it on all the images on all the screens, if they can't get it on all the screens. There we are. A little bit of light, too much light. Just dim the other lights for a moment so that it just gets a little bit brighter. This here is the church in the United... No, is it? Yeah. This is the church in the United States. For a moment, I thought very similar to the one in Reunion. But also a big hall and a lot of people there. And they grew by leaps and bounds. And Naomi is solidly at the side of Alexis. And we even took our treasurer, Karl-Heinz Goebel, across to help him a little bit on the books. And he's a chartered accountant. His son-in-law is one. His son is one. They're all chartered accountants. So I said to Karl-Heinz in the weekend, what do you talk about when you get together? If you're all chartered accountants, I mean, after all, by now you know 2 and 2 makes 4. But what do you talk about? Amen? Can you imagine a house like that? The discussion over the plates. Now, there are 5 plates here. Let's do an audit on those 5 plates. Amen? His wife is going like this, yes. They're counting all the time, these guys. But in any case, he went across. He helped Alex and Naomi and the situation up there as they unfold their leadership. And then, of course, that was good. Was there another picture? Yeah, there's another picture. That's the church in the United States. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. Now, that's on the ocean towards the west. On the ocean towards the east, right there in the middle of it sits an island called Reunion of France. It's part of France. And this young man by the name of Bruno Picard. Pasteur Picard. I like saying that. I sound so French. You know. So he started on that side in the meantime. And boy, did they not take off. There's one man who's flown, taken the flight back already today. Steve and his wife, Sandri. Ooh, that also sounds very Sandri. I got to get that thing right. You know, so he's the Bible school planter, but Bruno is here. And the two of them, this is Reunion. And you can see, very similar. They got a large hall. They're very well equipped. And they're very together. It could be somebody like me standing in the front there ministering, is it? Yeah. Is it? They got, there's another. Yeah, I see that. My goodness, what am I doing there? Will these two young men just come forward and just come take a seat here on my left side here, on my heart side. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, just get another mic here. So you're far, far away on that side. And so we'll just wait for another mic to come. I just want to ask him one or two questions, and then we'll go on and we'll minister what the Lord is wanting us to talk about. But what particularly, extremely, very much so, pleases me is the fact that God is moving through a new generation. This is very important. God is moving and he's using a young generation. And they're hitting straight in France and in the United States. And it's a different case, different story on both sides. On the one side, the French side, you have got a lot of what I would say Roman Catholicism right across France, in the French-speaking world, it's massive. Stretching into Canada, it's massive. And they're planting churches and Bible schools as far as they go. Alex has got another challenge because the United States, different story altogether. It's massive. The population is massive. The cities are massive. One after another, the cities are very big. And there is a very much of a settled religious community. But the one thing that I noticed that with these communities is, I very often, you know, even going to Singapore and places like that, going to churches there, I'd look at the churches, and then I'd say to more, they're doing everything right, except they don't pray. And they don't know how to pray. And if the one thing that is necessary, preceding every move that these men make, it has to be birthed in prayer. It has to be birthed in prayer. It's the bridegroom and the bride. The bride gives birth. How? I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you, said the Apostle Paul. So with them, there is the challenge, the gospel challenge of reaching the United States, fantastic nation. I've always been treated there with love and respect. Beautiful people, powerful nation. I think they got so much talent, they don't even know where it ends. And just wonderful people. I love the nation. And then, of course, the French people is like a delight to me. I love all these people from France and from Reunion Island. I really never knew that the French people would be so kind to us. They're just amazing people. And it was something which you didn't expect. And they were just that good. Bruno's been taught from here. Mark Bredenkamp went down to Natal, started the Bible school like we have it here, down there. And they went to Mark for a period of time. And then from there, they planted a Bible school on Reunion Island, another church, and so on and so forth. So first and foremost, let's begin. You're the closest to me now. How do you read your challenge? What is your vision? Talk about your vision. Tell them what your vision is. You're a young man.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us tonight. The vision is to take the harvest. Simply to take the harvest and to make disciples.
I think you better get up and just walk down and just walk a little bit. Come on, preach.
The vision is to take the harvest. To make disciples. And the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't led us on the earth just to come to a nice church. He wants us to be the church. Yes. He wants us to be the church everywhere we go, everywhere we are. You see, for us to go out is to shine for Christ, by Christ, to be the light. When the people see the light, they want to follow the light. They come back to the house of God. And in the house of God, they have been trained to become disciples. We need to be out and to be in. We need both to build disciples.
Amen. What about talk to them? Talk to them about your holistic approach. How do you see the church from the holistic point of view? That's very powerful.
I've learned the word here, by the way, holistic approach. And we realize that to be holistic does not mean to consider every part. It means to consider the life flowing between every part. We can be aware of every department in the church. We can be aware of every generation in the church. But we need to be careful and to work that the life will always go from parts to parts, and from fathers to sons. And when the life is in every part, then you can have an holistic approach, because you can see what God is doing through everyone, through every project, through every association, through every minister, and everyone working together to build the house of God, not his own ministry.
Tell me, or tell us all, if you answer this question very quickly for us, and that is that, where have you already expanded? Where are your influences? Which nations are influenced by your ministry by now?
We start by Rhode Island, then we went to south of France, Montpellier, Toulon. We are in Paris by the grace of God. We're starting in Montreal right now, Ottawa also, and Belgium, and Switzerland, and Mauritius.
All right. So Shall we give him a 10 out of 10 for that one? You know, I need to go sit down there and let these young guys preach. You know, they're just on fire. Alex, will you get up and tell us, how do you read the church in the United States? What do you see the situation? What must be done?
Good evening, everyone. Okay, well, I think that in the United States, it might be a little different to Bruno, but I think in all around the world right now, we're seeing, as Pastor Harold has mentioned, you're seeing a lot of darkness, and with that darkness, we're also seeing the church rise up. And at the moment in the United States, there's a very strong darkness that's rising. And with that coming, the church is beginning to wake up, and we're beginning to there's a cry that's going out in the United States, you know, for God's power, for God's love. And that's our vision. Our vision is to take the fire of God to our city and nation. And we do that by teaching and demonstrating his love and power. When his love and power comes together, that's when the fire comes. That's when there's a break. That's when there's a break in the sort of religious tradition type of spirit that really is very strong in the United States. There is powerful moves of God, but we see, like Pastor Harold said, a little bit of a shallowness as well, you know.
What about the importance of prayer to you as a church?
Well, Pastor Harold, I mean, you know, I always say that when I got to the United States, we began to look for a church. And my wife and I went and looked, and we were like, what's going on? You know, we couldn't find anything like this, and we didn't know anything else, because this is where I got saved. This is where I had my encounter. And, you know, my life was radically changed, and everything we learned, we knew from here. So we started the church with prayer. That's what we did. God gave us the commission to start the church while I was praying. He gave me a vision while I was praying. And the only thing we do is we pray. We pray all the time. In the beginning, when we planted the church, we prayed every day. Like you guys did, we prayed early in the morning for hours, and now we continue to pray. That's the main key.
Do you see a breakthrough coming spiritually for the United States? Final question.
Yes, I believe that we are on the verge of a powerful move of God. I believe that there's a window of opportunity that's been created, that God has created. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the United States.
Thank you. Now, both of you just stand up. And you can come one on my right and one on my left hand side. And I want to tell you that I did something which I pondered and pondered and pondered. 1 year is now the Fivefold Ministries International Regional Leader for all of the French-speaking nations. And France and Reunion, he leads the way with the churches there. Bible schools, how many Bible schools are running now?
Five.
Five that are running. How many of you just graduated? You told me the other day they had, what?
More than 2,000.
It's amazing. They're busy raising up an army of soldiers in France, spreading in every direction. They're going to change the entire French-speaking population. He is the leader of the United States complement of FIFO. We have some other members there too. But he now is the regional leader for the United States. He knows the house, he's the son of the house, knows what to do, he knows what goes, and he knows what doesn't go. Then I thought to myself, somehow or another, I must do something really powerful and symbolic and send them with something which is very precious. Now, we went out to Israel and we got oil from Shiloh. And then we ran out of that oil very quickly. Then what I did is, some of the people, like I think Carl Lines again, and Gail, I don't know if Gail's here tonight, I'm not sure, but they helped me with more of Shiloh oil, because they were there too when we as a group were there in Israel. So we anointed the people over and over, and I had four bottles sitting on the rack. And so one of them is like three quarters, and then the other three. Are full. Four are full. And there's still one over. Finally, I decided that's it. What I must do is, because of the strategic importance of these two young men, to give them each a bottle of oil from Shiloh, signifying that we at Little Falls Christian Center share in the anointing, and we send you out as a light to the rest of the world under the power of the Holy Spirit. We sow it into your lives. Amen. So have you got your bottles of oil? Thank you, sweetheart. That's his daughter. Put it in this hand here and put it in that hand there. I want you to know tonight that I want to sow this in there. I feel not only me, I still got some left. So we're okay for Pentecost. Amen. And I still got some left. But the fact is that I want these two people to carry the anointing well with it. And I want us as a church to sow it into their lives. Because this is the best anointing earth on the planet at this time. Clearly. Same oil from the region where King David was anointed with. Prophet Samuel anointed with it. And filled the horn with oil and poured it out on King David's head. Same oil that was used in the tabernacle to light up the lampstand, the golden lampstand. So they stand symbolic tonight as carriers of the glory of God. Raise your hands towards them as we pray over them. In Jesus' name. Lord, this is the Great Commission in action. This is the fire of God at work. We as a church sacrifice something extremely precious. We sacrifice some of the oil, for we have been given abundance, and we take some and give it to them also, that they may carry it into France, into Canada, Belgium, Switzerland, wherever they go, wherever they plant churches, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would accompany them. Enablement, empowerment, miraculous ability to work the works of God. A light to the nations. A powerful witness to the United States. Prayer warriors of note, send them in the power of your Spirit this night. I place my hands on both sides. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I place my hands on both of them. And I thank you, Almighty God, in Jesus' name, that from this, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will spread revival into the French population, revival into the American population. The power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Let's stand up, give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, you can take this off. Now you may take your seats, and I'm going to be spending a bit of time with you, and then there's going to be a little bit of a musical item. Seeing that I haven't got the Bible with me, I'll just quote. I'm going to Joshua chapter number 6. And then after that, by the time of that, we're going to talk about Jericho. And we're going to do a little bit of a thing there, because every stronghold must come down. I said every stronghold must come down. Strongholds in France must come down. Strongholds in the United States must come down. Every stronghold in South Africa must come down. Every high thing shall be broken in Jesus' name. Shout hallelujah. That's right. Come on, give God a good praise offering. Shout hallelujah. And if you want to praise God in this place. Hallelujah. Woo. You may take your seats. My apologies to the French visitors and the American visitors. We don't have seat belts here. So you don't have to stand up with your chair. So tonight, I want to say to you that God is faithful to His word. Now, the city of Jericho was securely shut. because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given the city in your hands. I say to you tonight, see, you have the victory of the breakthrough already. See, the enemy that you're facing on any side whatsoever is already defeated. See, you are more than a conqueror. See that though you walk in the flesh, you don't war according to the flesh. But the weapons of your warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, 5, are not carnal. It's not of the flesh. But they mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now there's just something that I wanted to show you about Jericho. Now the Lord goes ahead and he gives Joshua instructions. One of the things I want to precede it, run a little bit ahead of the story here, and then come back again to the beginning. There's one thing that they were to do. You see, it was the advancement to take the promised land. The promised land belongs to Israel. I said the promised land belongs to Israel. Who said so? God said so. Anybody argues against that, they got to find out from God. And you come off second best with him. No man will stand in the presence of the Lord and stand with an argument. Promised land. Now hear me now. And hear me good concerning France. At the time of the end of the Second World War, it was the French, historically, that actually helped Israel with weaponry and certain things to establish themselves in the promised land. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't know it. But France helped Israel. And therefore, revival is unavoidable to come to you. Do you get it? Now, I want a French praise offering. Yeah, you might as well stand up. This is just. It's a thing that very few people know, very few people understand. But if you bless Israel, you will be blessed. If you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you will have peace yourself. You will prosper if you love the holy city. It's the city of our God. You go there to the house of King David. It belongs to King David. Mount Zion and all of that. It's just, it belongs to Israel. Benai Israel, the sons of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, who became Israel. By the hand of God, your name shall no longer be called Yaakov, but you shall become Israel, for you have struggled with men and struggled with God, and you have prevailed. Now, here we have a man following in the footsteps of a man called Moses. And he gets to the city, and the Lord begins to talk to him. And the Lord gives him instructions, says, one of the things that you need to watch out for, and this is what you need to hear before we get into the sevens. One of the things you need to watch out for is that you don't take any of the first fruits, literally, of that land. It would be the first city to fall in the promised land. First city. When conquering that city, the rest of the cities didn't matter, but the first city. I'll talk a little bit more about Jericho in a moment, but it's the first city. And if you see it, even today, it's I don't even know if it's the city surface is as big as the total church grounds. It would be about 4 rugby fields, the whole city, if you connect them together. It's about the same size. So therefore, because everything's in those walls, and then it's like a mound, and then they lived inside, and they were not like us that live in open stand. They like boxed in very much so. Narrow little streets, back in the people. But one thing is given a lot of attention to would be the walls and the gates of the city, because those had to keep an invading army out. Normally in the ancient world, they would have a place where they would stock water. They would have a huge supply of water, and there'd be another stock also where they would keep the fundamentals, like let's say grain or wheat, bring it inside to be able to feed them for an extended period of time till an invading army would just give up because the stronghold is there. But now God says, but you shall not take any of the accursed things, the silver, the gold, anything, the silver, the gold, the bronze, all those items. You will bring it to the treasury of the Almighty God and give it to God. Because if you don't, and you bring an accursed thing into your house, listen to this principle. If you allow anything accursed in your house, lest the curse strike you and your house, and you become a trouble for the entire Israel, because they were one family, really. It's the only nation that's just one family. So therefore, you will take those things first. Silver and gold comes to the house of God. It's to be given to God. Now there's a man, of course, he breaches that. His name is called Achan. Now Achan in Hebrew, Achan, which means the troublemaker or the troubler. That's what it means. Achan, of course, takes some stuff. And what happens? He takes it and he hides it in his house. And what happens? God sees everything. And now the next thing, they've got a war and they lose the war against the city of Ai. Tiny little place up the hill there, but they lose it hands down. People die. Achan, because he brought what God literally calls in Joshua chapter number 6, accursed things. They were cursed as far as man is concerned, but they would be belonging to the Lord for implements in the temple of God. Achan, due to his troublemaking and causing trouble and death even in Israel, in a battle that they lost, Achan ended up under a pile of stones and he was stoned to death. Now the city itself, if you go there, some of the walls are still there. They call it the oldest city on earth, which I, of course, I don't know if I agree with that, because in my opinion, there are cities anytime as old as that. But generally, they would speak of Jericho as the oldest city on earth. I mean, there were cities even before that time, in the time of just after Adam already, they were starting to build cities. And cities, by definition in those days, were not like we have the city of, let's say, Johannesburg, and it has a population of over a certain amount to make it a city. They were compacted. There were usually a king there, and those kings reigned there, and they would do just what they wanted to do. They went out, they did war, they raided other weaker nations in those cities, or weaker cities, they would attack them. And so here they have the invading force of the Israelites. Now when the people heard what God had done with the children of Israel, how he led them out of Egypt, striking Egypt with plagues, through the Red Sea, signs and wonders and miracles as far as they went, and what they did to anybody, including the Amalekites and all of those people, what Israel did also concerning the Amalekites as they came out of Egypt with Aaron and Hur holding up the hands of Moses while the battle was raging. That's the first time you hear the name Joshua, when God says to Moses, tell Joshua to take command of the army and let them go and fight against Amalek. And they had to keep his hands up, keep him strengthened, keep him supported. So Moses was on the hill. You see little hills there in that area where the battle took place. You come out of Egypt, out of what is today Cairo. you go into that desert, the moment you get these hills, these very stony hills. And then those hills, the Amalekites, which means warlike to today. The Bible codes continuously speak about the spirit of Amalek. Chief among the spirits of the driving force of the spirit of Amalek, time and again, is the spirit of Shamel, which is Satan, really. It's another name for Satan. And it's in the Bible codes all the time. It would speak about various regions and what they cause Israel, and then immediately trouble they cause Israel, and it says Shamel, and it would say Amalek again. So that spirit of Amalek is what's causing a lot of trouble still to this very day. That's why King Saul lost his power as a king, because he compromised. Now, having said all of that, God gives a few instructions. You shall march around the city for 7 days. 6 days, there will be, for the first 6 days of those 7 days, there'll be seven priests, and there'll be those seven Kohanim with seven ram's horns, not trumpets, ram's horns, shall walk ahead of the Ark of the Covenant. There'll be some soldiers preceding and some rear guard following. And as they walk once around the city, they will do so every single day. But on the seventh day, seven priests, seven ram's horns, 7 days. What is that 777 stand for in numerics? Well, you should know by now. It's the Holy Spirit. If you take the Holy Spirit, you spell that in Hebrew, Ruach HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit is 777. The name of Jesus, 666. Antichrist, the name of Jesus, 888. Antichrist, 666. Satan, 666. Everything about Satan is 666. Godly men of old, somehow or another, you can check their list, and it's amazing if you do so. Do a little bit of a study of that. You analyze their names, you take the numerics, work it out. Always ends up in multiples of the number 8. Holy men of God. Always the number 8. And that's the symbol of new beginnings. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, spiritual perfection. If you look at the book of Revelation, there's seven churches, seven golden lampstands, seven flames. There are seven trumpets. There are seven vials. Everything works in 7, 7, 7, 7. It speaks of completion and rest in God. The most important thing I want you to hear right now is exactly what happened here in the front. The most important thing is that 7 is the number of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit they were doing a manifestation which spelt out Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. That is olive oil in Hebrew. It shall come to pass in the last days that the yoke of the enemy shall be destroyed. The yoke shall be broken because of the anointing oil. Now on the seventh day, they had to circle the city 7 times. I just told you how big the city was. Still is. You see the rubble there. You see the whole, it's like a dump now of sand dunes, if you will, but you see it very clearly. And you can easily walk around it 7 times. But on the seventh day, they had to go around 7 times and then blow 7 horns. And Joshua said to the people, it's a 777 all over the place. Joshua said to the people, now when you hear the sound of the blast of the ram's horn, Then you shall shout, for the Lord has given the city in your hands. You have to conform to the God pattern in order to get to the God power. You have to follow exactly the divine instructions to experience the divine power. The tabernacle is one example. You follow the pattern, which gives you the place of getting into the glory of God, to the power. Same with King Solomon's temple. Same thing over and over. So on the seventh day, they were to blast the trumpets at a specific moment in time, and Joshua would shout, "See, the city is in your hands. Now attack, for the Lord has given you the city." And they all had to go forward. This is a very interesting thing. They had to go straight ahead, directly towards that situation. It's actually an amazing miracle. If you go to Jericho, you see what happened to those walls. Last time I was there, not so long ago, you see the walls, and there's a level where you see black on the bricks, on the stones. That black is because of fire that burnt at the time of Joshua. Still there. Still there. You see fire there that burnt at a certain level. Now, the most amazing thing is that here you have the entire nation of the army of Israel surrounding Jericho. And the most amazing thing is that there has to be some sort of supernatural force to bring down the stronghold. But it was not of them to bring down the stronghold. They simply had to have faith. And therefore, Joshua said, "Not one of you speak a word all the way. You zip up." Like I always say, you zip your zipper, close it. "Oh, you know, this is just impossible to get you to that place. Oh, I don't know what we're doing here. Day after day, the same old thing. Walking around this place. Oh, you know, I'm getting pretty tired of this walking thing right now. Listen to those priests. First day, second day. I'm tired of all this walking. That sound is all the time. It's there." And Joshua said, "You will not talk a single word. No utterance of impossibilities. For all things are possible if you can believe in God. If you obey Him and follow the kingdom of God rule and pattern in your life. Listen to me tonight. Every stronghold, every high thing must come down. When you pray and you obey, you will destroy the fortresses that the devil tries to set up against you." Now, one thing you must be very clear with, that the devil is already defeated. I think sometimes from this modern world that they tend to give the devil more credit, and that is nonsense. I stood in front of somebody here in the front over there, and he said, "I'm going to get you." I said, "Who are you?" He says, "No, we're going to get you." The young man, he was full of demons. And he said, "We're going to get you." I said, "No, you're not going to get me. I'm going to get you now." And it just works the other way around. "We're going to get you. Greater is He who's in me than he who's in this world. I take authority over you. Come out in Jesus Christ's name." The demons left him. The demons left. We're still here. That happens all the time. This is a very bad place for the devil to try and hang out. Very bad place. Now, dear friends, I want to say to you tonight, the 777 written over that story, you can go and work it out for yourself. You see seven everywhere. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you see seven everywhere. All the time, this number seven speaks of spiritual perfection, of the anointing, seven flames of the Holy Spirit, seven eyes of the Messiah running to and fro throughout all the earth, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, everything in sevens. But here, there was simply not to say a negative word. Joshua said, "You keep quiet." Now, one thing I have learned, when I strike a crisis, if I strike one, and it does happen, it happens to everybody. happened to Jesus. I turned to God. I said, I turned to God. That's the first thing you do. And what I have found out is it's better to say to nobody nothing. I tell my wife, now we pray about this situation. The two of us go on our knees, we pray for a particular situation. We set ourselves in agreement, we make our decision, this is how we handle this thing, that thing, whatever thing, through the years. Because Maud had a very powerful verse there. I need to just stop there for a moment. She had a powerful verse. It's from Psalm 37, verse 25. I've been young and now I'm old. I was telling her this morning this, but she didn't talk about it tonight. She had some other emphasis, which is good. I want to extend that a little bit. David now is about my age when he wrote that psalm, Psalm 37. And now he says, I've been young and now I'm old. But then he says, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The Amplified Bible speaks of the uncompromisingly righteous, speaks of a lifestyle of rightness with God. A lifestyle of rightness with God, which then reverberates into your children and your children's children. Your seed won't beg for bread as a reward. But notice something that a lot of people missed, and I also missed. That David speaks by looking over his shoulder. He's been in a school called experience. And in that experience, he looks back over his shoulder. He says, I've been young, now I'm an old man. However, I have never in all my life seen the uncompromisingly righteous forsaken and their seed begging for bread. It does not work that way. If you live right, if you keep on doing the right things right, if you live right with God, if you walk by the royal law of love to your fellow man, if you really, you've got to learn to love everybody that you come into touch with, because you are a carrier of the glory and you are the message that they're reading concerning the gospel. You are not only what you say, you are what you do. I said you are what you do. So Maud and I would pray and we wouldn't talk to nobody, just keep quiet, 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 and then just leave it there. Nor is seed begging for bread. From the life of experience, King David now speaks with authority. He says, if you live the righteous lifestyle, you won't be, listen, forsaken. The Lord will be with you day and night. He will be with you while you're sleeping. The angel, Psalm 34 of the Lord, encamps around those who fear them, who fear him. And he delivers them out of all of their troubles. So they stood in front of that city and suddenly Joshua said, attack now, for the Lord has given you the city. In that moment in time, those walls just came down. Now you got to make a move. Then God will move. You move, then God will move. You got to take a step forward of faith. When you take a step, then God will take a step. And God's step is much bigger than our steps. Jericho went down like that. And tonight as we close, because I don't want to preach too long. Tonight as we close, I say to you, the secret number is the number of sevens. It speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God will break the devil's power against you because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. The first stronghold that I always think of that you've got to get over is to get over yourself. You've got to get over yourself. You've got to take command over yourself. You don't allow the devil any stronghold in your own life. Don't bring any accursed thing into your house that there may be peace and blessedness. Live a lifestyle of uncompromisingly righteousness. You will not be shaken. We can have the band that can come onto the platform right now. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Can you say amen? Amen. And then before we begin, we're going to have, we haven't got the trumpet here. The trumpeter is not here tonight. But I've got Ayo on standby here. How many of you know Ayo knows what to do? Ayo, position yourself. They can see you. Just come out from there somehow. I want you tonight, this is the closing of a month of talking about breakthroughs. I want you tonight, for a moment, just bow your heads, close your eyes. What do you want to get broken down that the devil has raised up against you to block you in your progress? What do you want smashed out of the way by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Get the picture. Might be more than one thing. It's okay. What are the strongholds? I could ask these two young ministers. What are the strongholds that you're facing? Every high thing must come down. There's no high thing high enough to withstand the power of the living God. You will not be forsaken. You will not be left alone. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, never seen their seed begging for bread. When God blesses you, he'll bless your generations to come up to 100 years if necessary, just because of what you've done. Like in the case of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to this day, the blessing of Abraham upon the people. So tonight, I want two things to happen. Firstly, we will stand, then there's going to be the blast. We'll use the saxophone as the trumpet for tonight. And I want you to close your eyes and see that thing falling. Then after that, the moment I give him the signal to cease, in that moment in time, I want you to praise God for the victories that you have already got. Because whatever you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have the petitions that you ask for. Can you say amen? So I want you to see now, look again in your mind's eye, close your eyes and see that you've already got it. What are you wanting? You've already got it. What do you want to conquer? You've already got it. The city is defeated. The strongholds must come down. Now, like the people of Joshua, I want you to quietly stand up. Just quietly now. Just stand. Just stand. Just stand. And when I say shout, for the Lord has given you the victory, then I want you to give the Lord a thundering praise offering. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? And then after that, we'll sing the song, every high thing must come down. Every stronghold must be broken. In Jesus Christ's name. Now I want to pray here is somebody that is, this is some kind of started feeling sick Friday morning and it looks like Mink Hashkop. I'm not exactly sure, but it's a 3-month-old child. Would you please raise your hands towards this cloth? And I'm just going to pray over it. And we believe God wrought Acts 19, 10 and 11. God wrought special miracles through the hands of the Apostle Paul that when the aprons or the handkerchiefs that were on his body were laid upon the sick, that the sickness departed and the demons were cast out. They were healed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We release the power of the anointing that breaks the yoke of the devil again. It's the 777. It's the Holy Spirit against the works of darkness. Adele Ehlers, and then there's Magdalene Ehlers. I don't know if these people are in the service. I really don't know. Are they in the service? Both of you in the service? All right. Just come forward. That's right. And then there's another one here, Sandy Boertam. And in the service, and they're from Alberton, Shingles, Henny Boerta. If he's here, him come forward. And then there's Wyatt Jones. and troubled by supernatural. Where's Wyatt Jones? Where is Wyatt Jones? Can I see your hand? Where's Wyatt Jones? Wyatt Jones says you're in the service. This comes from Nadine Singh. The rest of you may take your seats a moment, please. From Nadine Singh. This one here, this one that filled this guardian that's in the service. Who's the person? Nadine Singh. Where is she? Could be this morning. Sometimes sees shadows, cuts himself in depression. Think he did something and playing Charlie and Charlie with friends. I ask you, what else? Thank you in Jesus' name. Well, wherever this person is, if it was in the morning service, we bind the spirit right now. Wherever he finds himself and the spirit's active against him, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Right? This one here with the shingles is this one here. Right? Can I have oil, please? Anointing oil. And Henny Buerta. And just put some oil on that cloth for them too. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'll say straight to the devil, devil, you're a liar. You've been defeated 2,000 years ago. You've got no power against this man. In fact, you've got no power against anybody in this place. So in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we all are and whom we serve, we break this curse and the pain and the torment that it causes. This infirmity of shingles. Come out, you foul spirit of torment, sickness, disease, infirmity. Go in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a praise offering for that one. Both of you got lower back problems? Both of you got low. Are you mother and daughter? Mom and daughter, both lower back problems. You on the left side? You on the left side? And you have got both of you lower back and your right knee. Believe God and take that away. Come stand closer to me. You got pain now? Any of you? You have pain? Are you sure you got pain? Okay. Hey? It's what?
It must be gone now.
Do you believe it's going to go now? Do you really believe that? Do you believe because God will do it for you? Jesus will do it for you. You had one huge argument. It changed your life. And since that time, you couldn't overcome what lies behind. But you're a good woman. And there's resentment. And there's stuff that you've got to work through. You know what I'm talking about now. If you're willing, I want Pastor Tianson Karen just to come here, please. If you're willing to deal with that fully, then I'm willing to pray for you. Can you forgive right now in Jesus' name? Yeah, absolutely. It's gone. Okay? And you? What happened to her affected you. What happened to her opened the door that affected you because you were caught in the crossfire. It happened to her, you're caught in the crossfire. It reverberated your way. So you're exactly the same condition. And in fact, this is a familiar spirit that's at your house. There's a familiar spirit there. That thing is causing oppression in the house. It's the whole atmosphere of the house is like depressed. Right? It's true. Young lady, is that true? Now you got kind of angry about the whole situation at one point, and you wanted to, you know, you want to do things your way, But somehow or another, you decided to stay with your mother. But it affected you too. Right? Yes. Now, while I'm talking to you, the Holy Spirit's upon you. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can touch you? Now, you know Jesus loves you. And you've been a little bit doubtful about your future. I see that you're struggling. You're not certain about what to do next. And where you must head with your life. Because there's frustration there. There's frustration. And you feel like nobody understands you. Right? And so you go into your bedroom, you close the door, and I see him sitting on the side of your bed. You're wearing something like white. It's like white she's got on in the bedroom. It's true. And she sits on the bed, head is bent forward. You're holding, on your one hand, you're holding a Bible. Is what I see here. God says, the answer is in the Word. That's where it is. It's in the Word. See? Now, you will not after tonight have any uncertainty about your future. Because now the Lord opens a door and the gifts that you have will open up opportunities for you. You see, I've never seen the righteous, but then you've got to live righteously. Forsaken. Are you listening to me? Does all of this make sense to you? Absolutely. Wave with your hand if that's the truth. All of it? Is that the truth? Wave with your hand. Yeah? Okay. How many of you believe the Lord can touch them right here and now? Right here and now. Devil, you're a liar. Now there's power coming through. I could feel it right now. It's flowing like it's like a current in my arms. It affects me actually. Oi. It's even in my shoulders, right down my spine. I feel the power of God flowing through. Okay. Actually, what's been happening here also is there's been like a spirit of witchcraft that is working against you because the words people spoke against you. I smell that spirit now. I smell that spirit. Now that thing is going to go tonight. I break the curse and bind the spirit of familiarity, the spirit of Apollo Puthos, the familiar spirit. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I break your curse on these two women. In Jesus' name, I, Father, thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, they both healed right now. Whatever it was, ain't no more. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a praise of you. Amen. How's the knee now? It's gone. Pain gone? Well, go in the peace of the Lord. God bless you. Let's stand, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, this is breakthrough month. I think you need to give your final breakthrough praise offering right now. That's right. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Almighty Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Grant you eternal peace and salvation. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.